I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're talking about ratified. We're going to be talking about how God has ratified this new covenant that he's given us in the blood of Jesus. Recently, I've been thinking about this idea of real estate contracts, about how they are ratified when both parties have agreed to a contract, when we've got signatures, it's confirmed, it's verified, it's valid. We've got a ratified contract in place. It means both sides have come to an agreement. They've given their approval and they've got their signatures. They've got their sign, their seal on it, their seal of approval on it. This word ratified, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to make valid. It means to be confirmed or to be verified or to be approved. It means to have signatures on it or to give formal consent. So we're going to be taking a look at some scriptures about how this new covenant has been ratified for us in the blood of Jesus. But before we get started, we're going to start with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion times is we start with our 30-day prayer challenge, which is about a 2-minute long prayer. That's mostly scripture coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a couple minutes to do the other half of prayer, to get still, to listen for God's leading in our life, to examine ourselves before we get into our time of communion. But Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, all their friends, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Father, we just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named in this age and the age to come. And he put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I just ask you to bless us, to bless our time here together today, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. We ask you to keep your hand on us. Help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. And we're going to start. The first thing we need to do is get positioned in the light. God has released us from the darkness, transferred us into the light. And that all comes through the forgiveness of sins. The forgiveness of sins, the releasing of those sins is how the forgiveness flows, how we get brought into the light. And so first, we got to receive that from God, just receiving his grace and his forgiveness for the ways that we've missed it. And just receiving that from him. Whenever we miss it, we can run to him and receive that grace and forgiveness. It's a truly an amazing thing that every time we miss it, we can run to him rather than away from him and receive that grace and forgiveness. But then we have to give it to ourselves. We have to stop condemning ourselves and beating ourselves up, putting all that pressure on ourselves. When we're in the light, everything is light. Everything is easy. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you, I'm gentle and learn from me because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you're in the darkness and you're hanging on to all these things and all the pressures on you, everything feels very heavy. Everything is confusing. Everything is disorienting. When you're in the dark, you're tripping and stumbling over things. You're running into things when you're in the dark. But when you're in the light, you can see. And all it takes is just to get this forgiveness flowing. And then we got to stay focused on the light. We got to get that forgiveness flowing through us. We got to take that pressure off of us. Forgive yourself. Give yourself that same grace. And then it's got to flow through you to other people. Giving other people the same grace and forgiveness that God has given you, and letting some things go, releasing some things, maybe ways people have wronged you, things that people have done to you, releasing those things, letting them go, and just living this life in the light. And then we can stay focused on the light by staying focused on things you're grateful for. So you have a pen and paper or something you can write with. You can track it on your phone, however you want to track it. What are some things that you're grateful for just over the last 24 hours? What are some things that you are grateful for over the last 24 hours? Just writing a few things down, because gratitude keeps us focused on the light. We can be focused on light or we can be focused on darkness. Whichever one we are focused on is going to begin to get magnified. It's going to begin to grow and get bigger and bigger in our lives. The more we focus on all the things that are wrong, the more you can find. The more you're looking for things that are wrong, the more of them you can find. The more you're looking for things that are right and that are going well, the more of those you can find. It's a matter of which one are you focused on. And I'm just thinking, last night I was talking with a neighbor friend of ours, and he was talking about how they had taken a trip to Chicago. And he used this word. He used the word magnify. We've been talking a lot about the word magnify lately. And he said, you know, it's interesting. When you go on these trips, we had been there before. And in your mind, in your memory, you remember going to these certain places and you magnify them in your mind. He used that word. You magnify them in your mind. But you make these places that you went to and these events that happen in your life, you make them bigger in your mind than they really are. And then he said, when we actually went there, you're like, oh, it's not as big and as great as I remembered. And so often I think we do the same thing. We begin to magnify these problems in our mind. We begin to magnify the events in our lives and to make them into something bigger than they really are. We begin to magnify them and make them into something much bigger than they really are. But there's a good side of this as well. Is we can begin to magnify God in our minds. We have a choice. We can focus on the problems or we can focus on God. We can focus on light or darkness. God is light. And we can begin to magnify God. And as big as we make him in his mind, he's always bigger. He's not going to disappoint. Because he was talking about, it's almost like it's a little disappointing because you magnify these things and build them up in your mind about these expectations and all these types of things of what you remember. And it never quite lives up to the memory that you had of it. But we can magnify God in our minds. And he's always bigger than what you think or ask or dream or imagine. He will not disappoint. We can begin to magnify him, which leads us into our next question. How's your emotions? Over the last 24 hours, how are your levels of peace and joy? God has given us his supernatural peace and joy on the inside. And it's like a light switch. Either it's on and they're flowing in our lives or they're not. And it's usually because we're putting the pressure on ourselves. We got to learn to rely and trust in God and his help rather than what we can do in our own strength. And I believe one of the biggest keys, you begin to magnify him in your mind. You begin to magnify him in your mind. Make him bigger in your mind than everything that's coming at you in your life. Make him bigger. Magnify him. He won't disappoint you. Because when we're lacking peace, it's often because we're wavering, because we're looking at the problem more than we're looking at God. We're magnifying the problem more than we're magnifying God. When we're lacking joy, joy, I like to think of as my indicator of presence, that I'm living in the present moment and I'm aware of God's presence. Joy is my indicator that God's grace is flowing through me. Joy is my indicator that that's happening because I'm living in the present moment, and it turns the tables and allows all these good things that God put within us to begin to flow through us. And joy is our indicator that that's happening. So how are your levels of peace and joy? And these are areas. If you find some area of life that was consistently knocking you out, it's stealing your peace. It's stealing your joy. We're into worry. We're into stress, disappointment, frustration. These negative states, bring them to God. Ask him for his help turning them around. And then thank him that he's more than enough, that what he put in you is more than enough. And begin to magnify him and what he did on the inside of you. And you'll find that when issues and problems come at you in life, you're going to handle them in a completely different way. And then what do you know to do? Over the next 24 hours, what do you know to do? What are the things, two sides, that need to get done? Might be administrative things, things around the house, things in your workplace. What needs to get done? And these are usually things that need to get done to be a good steward of what you've currently got going on in your life. And then what are the things that God is stirring or prompting in you to do? What are the new things, the things that you really want to do, that you're excited and motivated and energized to do in your life? What are those things that you really want to do that God is stirring in your life? And those are usually things that he's stirring in you for the next level. He's leading you in the direction of the next level. So what do you know to do over the next 24 hours that needs to get done and that you want to get done, or you know God wants to get done? What are those things? And how could you take some action on those things and then executing them the right way? Because there's two big keys to this. Doing the things that you know to do, but also the attitude that you execute them with. Doing them with peace and joy and confidence in God, trusting that he's helping you do them rather than you just doing it all by yourself. And then our final question, what is God teaching you and showing you over the last 24 hours? And just taking a couple minutes to kind of reflect and to get still and to listen. If you need to pause the recording, you can. But what is he teaching and showing you over the last 24 hours? And I like to think of it in two areas, corrections and adjustments. What adjustments or corrections is that am I feeling prompted or nudged to make in my life? And then what are the new things that he's teaching me? What are the new directions and visions and plans that he's talking to me about? Because it's his voice that leads us from the jaws of distress, Job chapter 36, 16, to this spacious, beautiful place that's free from all restriction. But it's his voice that leads us along the path. He's not going to force you. He's not going to force you into situations. He's going to lead you gently along this path. And that requires us being tuned into his voice regularly. So let's get into some scriptures on this idea that we have this ratified, valid, confirmed, approved, formal new covenant that's in place, and it's been ratified in the blood of Jesus. And we're going to take communion over this as we finish up today. So let's take a look at some scriptures. Psalm 50, verse 5, God says, "Assemble my covenant people." What is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement. Covenant is a partnership. It's a contract agreement, basically. And covenants had to have a covenant in blood. Covenants had to have a blood component. It was a blood covenant, as we're going to see with Jesus. "Assemble my covenant people before me, those who ratified a covenant with me by sacrifice." So they ratified a covenant with him through animal sacrifices in the Old Testament. Then in Luke 20, verse 12, this is talking about Jesus. And in the same way, this is when he's instituting communion. In the same way, Jesus took the cup after they had eaten, and he said, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant that is ratified in my blood." I believe this is the Amplified version. "That is ratified in my blood." Then 1 Corinthians 11, 25. This is Apostle Paul talking about Jesus instituting communion at the Last Supper. He said, "In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant that is ratified and established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in affectionate remembrance of me.'" Again, I think this is the Amplified version as well. So we see this new covenant has been ratified and established through the blood of Jesus. So when we take the juice today, it's a reminder that this new covenant has been ratified. So what does it mean to be ratified? It's valid. It's confirmed. It's approved by God. God has signed off on it. He's given his seal of approval. He's given formal consent. This would be like the case of you have a contract with somebody and both parties have signed the contract. It's fully in force. So let's look at a couple other scriptures. This is Galatians 3, 15 and 17 here. It says, "Brothers, I'm using a human illustration. No one sets aside or makes additions to even a human covenant that's been ratified." So in real estate, you have a contract that's been ratified. Both parties have signed off on it. And then they say, "Hey, you know what? We want to make some additions to this. We want to change this covenant." Well, you have to write a whole new amendment or an addendum to the contract to change the contract and to add to it or to make changes to it. And both parties have to sign off on it once again. It's not like one person can just say, "Oh, we're going to change this contract." Both parties have to get into agreement again. And usually they have to write something that overrides the old covenant that was or contract that was written, which, speaking of which, overriding covenants is a very important aspect of what we're talking about, because the old covenant has not been done away with. The new covenant sits above it. It overrides the old. It's like an amendment to the old covenant. Jesus fulfilled, he fulfilled everything in that old covenant, which made it null and void. And now this old, this new covenant sits above it. It's like a contingency where this new covenant sits above it and it overrides everything that was written in the old covenant. And I say this, the law, which came 430 years later, does not revoke a covenant that was previously ratified by God and cancel the promise. Okay, this is talking about the covenant that God made with Abraham. So the law was a covenant that was put in place. And then you also had a covenant that was put in place between God and Abraham. God has these covenants. He has these partnerships or contract agreements that he made with Abraham. He made one with Noah. We see he's got the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. And this new covenant of the blood of Jesus overrides, it supersedes the law, which was in the Old Testament. Now, this is Hebrews 13:20. Now, may the God of peace, he's the God of all peace, the source of serenity and spiritual well-being, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood that sealed and ratified the eternal covenant. Notice the blood of Jesus is what sealed and ratified this covenant for us. It's done. A couple more scriptures here. Now, once a contract has been ratified, people have to live up to their end of the bargain. Once a contract has been ratified, people have to live up to their end of the bargain. So let's look at this here. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember the Lord your God. Remember him. Magnify him in your mind. Magnify him in your mind. For it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and to confirm, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. So notice, he's going to give you the ability to produce wealth. Why? To confirm the covenant that he ratified with you. He's going to give you the ability to produce wealth to confirm the covenant that he ratified with you. Then it says, Mark 16:20, then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs and wonders that accompanied it. So notice, God's confirming his word. He's confirming his covenant. Then it says, Acts 14:3, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace. So God's confirming the message, this ratified covenant. He's confirming the message of it, of his grace, by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. So we've got two sides. This covenant has been ratified in the blood of Jesus, but then God's got to confirm it. He can confirm it by giving you the ability to produce wealth. He can confirm it with signs and wonders to confirm the message of his grace. But we're going to take communion over this. And it's just going to be a simple receiving that we have this ratified covenant in the blood of Jesus. It is fully enforced. It is sealed. It is approved. It is done. And God's going to begin to confirm this for us with these things. He's going to begin to confirm these ratified covenant for us in our lives. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. And every time we take communion, we look back right here. See if I can find it here. There we go. 1 Corinthians 11:25. Do this as often as you drink the cup here in affectionate remembrance of me. Father, we just thank you for your steadfast love for us. Thank you for Jesus, for your steadfast love for us as well. You loved us so much, you were willing to send your one and only Son to die for us. And if you would do that, how would you not freely give us all things? And you put that together with God's steadfast, unfailing love and his mighty works The book of Psalms says to meditate on his unfailing love, and it also says to meditate on his mighty works, that nothing is impossible with him. You put those two things together, how much he loves you, and that nothing is impossible for him. And he's given us this covenant relationship with him that's been ratified in the blood of Jesus. This opportunity to have this covenant relationship with him where we know him. And as he begins to confirm this covenant with us, I believe it helps us to grow in the knowledge of him, where we know him more and more. And Jesus said in John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they would know you, God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So we could know him, have this personal relationship with him. So Father, we just thank you for this bread and just this ratified covenant that you've given us. Thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So as we take this bread, let it just be symbolic. The old is gone. As we take the juice today, the new has come. This new covenant is ratified in the blood of Jesus, this new way of living. We thank you for this bread, Father. In Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. And we'll read it here. This cup is the new covenant, ratified and established in his blood. As often as we drink it, we can do it in affectionate remembrance of him. Thank you, Father, for this cup. Thank you, Jesus, for what you were willing to go through for us. If you have your juice, you can drink. Take your juice. So now, in the world of business or real estate, once a contract is in force, once a contract is ratified, a covenant is ratified, it's an agreement. Both sides have steps to take, and usually there's things that are supposed to be done, and often there's timelines associated with certain steps that have to be taken. What is our role in this? To believe in him. To magnify him in our minds, to magnify his name, make his name great, and to begin to make people around us great as well. How are we going to do that? Faith and love and growing in our knowledge of him, walking in faith, believing in him, trusting in him, staying connected to him, abiding in him, and then walking in love with other people, doing good for other people every time you have the opportunity. Releasing things, forgiving, letting go of ways that people have wronged you, staying in love and focusing on him, trusting in him. You do those two things and growing in your knowledge and relationship with him. He's going to confirm the message of his grace to you. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.